1 year ago. Kaladin turned the rock over in his fingers, letting the facets of suspended quartz catch the light. He leaned against a large boulder, 1 foot pressed back against the stone, his spear next to him. The rock caught the light, spinning it in different colors, depending on the direction he turned it. Beautiful miniature crystals shimmered like the cities made of gemstones mentioned in lore. Around him, High Marshal Amaram's army prepared for battle. 6,000 men sharpened spears or strapped on leather armor. The battlefield was nearby, and, with no high storms expected, the army had spent the night in tents. It had been nearly 4 years since he joined Amaram's army on that rainy night.
4 years, and an eternity.
The soldiers hurried this way and that. Some raised hands in greeting to Kaladin. He nodded to them, pocketing the stone, then folded his arms to wait. In the near distance, Amaram's standard was already flying, a burgundy field blazoned with a dark green glyph pair shaped like a white spine with tusks upraised. Maram and Kak, honor and determination. The banner fluttered before the rising sun, the morning's chill starting to give way to the heat of the day. Kaladin turned, looking eastward, toward a home to which he could never return. He'd decided months ago. His enlistment would be up in a few weeks, but he would sign on again. He couldn't face his parents after having broken his promise to protect Tien. A heavy-set, dark-eyed soldier trotted up to him, an axe strapped to his back, white knots on his shoulders. The non-standard weapon was a privilege of being a squad leader. Gare had beefy forearms and a thick black beard, though he'd lost a large section of scalp on the right side of his head. He was followed by two of his sergeants, Nelem and Korobet.
Kaladin! Stormfather, man! Why are you pestering me on a battle day?
I'm well aware of what's ahead, Gare.
Several companies were already gathering, forming ranks. Dalet would see Kaladin's own squad into place. At the front, they'd decided. Their enemy, a light-eyes named Hala, was fond of long volleys. They'd fought his men several times before. One time in particular was burned into Kaladin's memory and soul. He had joined Amaram's army expecting to defend the Alethi borders, and defend them he did, against other Alethi, lesser landlords who sought to slice off bits of High Prince Sadius's lands. Occasionally, Amaram's armies would try to seize territory from other High Princes. Lands, Amaram claimed, really belonged to Sadius and had been stolen years before. Kaladin didn't know what to make of that. Of all Light Eyes, Amaram was the only one he trusted. But it did seem like they were doing the same thing as the armies they fought.
Kaladin?
You have something I want. New recruit, just joined yesterday. Galen says his name is Sen.
I'm supposed to play this game with you now? Talk to me after the battle. If the boy survives, maybe I'll give him to you.
He turned to leave, cronies following. Kaladin stood up straight, picking up his spear. The motion stopped Gare in his tracks.
It's not going to be a trouble to you. Just send the boy to my squad, accept your payment. Stay quiet.
Kaladin pulled out a pouch of spheres.
Maybe I don't want to sell him.
You're not selling him. You're transferring him to me.
Well, then maybe I don't like how everybody does what you tell them. I don't care how good you are with a spear. My squad is my own.
I'm not going to give you any more, Gare.
Kaladin dropped the pouch to the ground.
We both know the boy is useless to you. Untrained, ill-equipped, too small to make a good line soldier. Send him to me.
Kaladin turned and began to walk away. Within seconds, he heard Gare recover the pouch.
Can't blame a man for trying.
Kaladin kept walking.
What do these recruits mean to you anyway? Your squad is half made up of men too small to fight properly. Almost makes a man think you want to get killed.
Kaladin ignored him. He passed through the camp, waving to those who waved at him. Most everyone kept out of his way, either because they knew and respected him, or they'd heard of his reputation. Youngest squad leader in the army, only 4 years of experience and already in command. A dark-eyed man had to travel to the Shattered Plains to go any higher in rank. The camp was a bedlam of soldiers hurrying about in last-minute preparations. More and more companies were gathering at the line, and Kaladin could see the enemy lining up on the shallow ridge across the field to the west. The enemy, that was what they were called. Yet whenever there was an actual border dispute with the Vedans or the Reshi, those men would line up beside Amaran's troops and they would fight together. It was as if the Night Watcher toyed with him, playing some forbidden game of chance, occasionally setting the men on his game board as allies, then setting them to kill one another the next day. That wasn't for spearmen to think about, so he'd been told, repeatedly. He supposed he should listen, as he figured that his duty was to keep his squad alive as best he could. Winning was secondary to that. He recalled what his father had said.
You can't kill to protect.
He found the surgeon station easily. He could smell the scents of antiseptics and of small fires burning. Those smells reminded him of his youth, which now seemed so far, far away.
Did I ever really plan to go become a surgeon? What has happened to my parents? What of Rishun?
Meaningless now. He'd sent word to them via Amaram's scribes, a terse note that had cost him a week's wages. They knew he'd failed, and they knew he didn't intend to return. There had been no reply. Ven was the chief of the surgeons, a tall man with a bulbous nose and a long face. He stood watching as his apprentices folded bandages. Kaladin had once idly considered getting wounded so he could join them. All of the apprentices had some incapacitation that prevented them from fighting. Kaladin hadn't been able to do it. Wounding himself seemed cowardly. Besides, surgery was his old life. In a way, he didn't deserve it anymore. Kaladin pulled a pouch of spheres from his belt, meaning to toss it to Ven. The pouch stuck, however. Refusing to come free of the belt, Kaladin tugged at the pouch. It came free suddenly, causing him to lose his balance again. A translucent white form zipped away, spinning with a carefree air.
Storming Windsbrenn.
He continued past the surgery pavilion, tossing the pouch of spheres to Ven. The tall man caught it deftly, making it vanish into a pocket of his voluminous white robe. The bribe would ensure that Kaladin's men were served first on the battlefield, assuming there were no light eyes who needed the attention. It was time to join the line. He sped up, jogging along, spear in hand. Nobody gave him grief for wearing trousers under his leather spearman's skirt, something he did so his men could recognize him from behind. In fact, nobody gave him grief about much of anything these days. That still felt odd, after so many struggles during his first years in the army. He still didn't feel as if he belonged. His reputation set him apart, but what was he to do? He kept his men from being taunted, and after several years of dealing with disaster after disaster, he could finally pause and think. He wasn't certain he liked that. Thinking had proven dangerous lately. It had been a long while since he'd taken out that rock and thought of Tien and home. He made his way to the front ranks, spotting his men right where he told them to go.
Dalit!
He trotted over to the mountainous spearman, who was the squad sergeant.
Dalit, we're soon going to have a new recruit. I need you to...
A young man, maybe 14, stood beside Dalit, looking tiny in his spearman's armor. Kaladin felt a flash of recall. Another lad, one with a familiar face, holding a spear he wasn't supposed to need. Two promises broken at once.
He found his way here just a few minutes ago, sir. I've been getting him ready.
Kaladin shook himself out of the moment. Tien was dead. But Stormfather, this new lad, looked a lot like him.
Well done. I paid good money to get that boy away from Gare. That man's so incompetent he might as well be fighting for the other side.
The men would know what to do with Sen. Kaladin scanned the battlefield for a good place for his men to stand their ground.
Let's get to it.
He'd heard stories about the soldiers who fought on the Shattered Plains. The real soldiers. If you showed enough promise fighting in these border disputes, you were sent there. It was supposed to be safer there. Far more soldiers, but fewer battles. So Kaladin wanted to get his squad there as soon as possible. He conferred with Dalit, picking a place to hold.
Charge!
Kaladin's squad charged and fought.
Where's the boy?
Kaladin yanked his spear out of the chest of a man in brown.
Dalit!
The burly sergeant was fighting. He couldn't turn to acknowledge the yell. Kaladin scanned the chaotic battlefield. Pain spren swarmed the ground like small orange hands or bits of sinew, reaching up from the ground amid the blood of the fallen. Kaladin's squad was all accounted for, their wounded protected at the center, all except the new boy.
Tien. Sen. His name is Sen.
Kaladin caught sight of a flash of green in the middle of the enemy brown. It was him. Kaladin threw himself out of formation, ducking past a spear thrust by an enemy, dashing over the stony ground, hopping corpses. Sen had been knocked to the ground, spear raised. An enemy soldier slammed his weapon down. Kaladin blocked the blow, deflecting the enemy's spear and skidding to a stop in front of Sen. There were six spearmen here, all wearing brown. Kaladin spun among them in a wild offensive rush. His spear seemed to flow of its own accord. Kaladin snapped his spear into a resting position, crouching with one foot forward, one behind, spear held under his arm. Sweat trickled from his brow, cooled by the breeze.
It wasn't a breeze before.
Now, it seemed to envelop him. All six spearmen were dead or incapacitated. Kaladin turned to see Sen's wound. He dropped his spear beside him, kneeling. The cut wasn't that bad, though it probably pained the lad terribly. Getting out a bandage, Kaladin gave the battlefield one quick glance. Dalit and the rest of Kaladin's team were clearing the area of enemy stragglers. In the near distance, an enemy Light Eyes of high rank was rallying a small group of soldiers for a counterattack. He wore full plate. Not shard plate, of course, but silvery steel. A rich man, judging from his horse. In a heartbeat, Kaladin was back to binding Sen's leg. The rest of the squad made a ring formation around Kaladin, Dalit, and Sen. Kaladin finished his binding, then stood, picking up his spear. Dalit handed him back his knives.
Had me worried there, sir, running off like that.
I knew you'd follow. Raise the red banner. Sen, Corridor, you're going back with the boy. Dalit, hold here. Amaram's line is bulging in this direction. We should be safe soon.
And you, sir?
In the near distance, the Light Eyes had failed to rally enough troops. He was exposed, like a stone left behind by a stream running dry.
A shard bearer.
No, thank the storm, Father. Just a light-eyed officer. Shard bearers are far too valuable to waste on a minor border dispute.
Kaladin clenched his jaw, watching that light-eyed warrior. How mighty the man thought himself, sitting on his expensive horse, kept safe from the spearmen by his majestic armor and tall mount. He swung his mace, killing those around him. More and more over the last few years, each and every one of these petty Light Eyes had come to represent Rashun in Kaladin's eyes. Only Amaram himself stood apart. Amaram, who had treated Kaladin's father so well, promising to keep Tien safe. Amaram, who always spoke with respect, even to lowly spearmen. He was like Dalinar and Sadeus, not this riffraff. Of course, Amaram had failed to protect Tien, but so had Kaladin.
Sir? Subsquads 2 and 3, pincer pattern. We're taking a Bright Lord off his throne.
You sure that's wise, sir? We've got wounded.
That's one of Hela's officers. He might be the one.
You don't know that, sir.
Regardless, he's a battalion lord. If we kill an officer that high, we're all but guaranteed to be in the next group sent to the Shattered Plains. We're taking him. Imagine it, Dalit. Real soldiers. A war camp with discipline and Light Eyes with integrity. A place where our fighting will mean something.
Dalit nodded. At Kaladin's wave, two sub-squads joined him, as eager as he. Did they hate these squabbling Light Eyes of their own accord, or have they picked up Kaladin's loathing? The Bright Lord came down with surprising ease. The problem with them, almost to a man, was that they underestimated Dark Eyes. Perhaps this one had a right. How many had he killed in his years? Subsquad 3 drew off the honor guard. Subsquad 2 distracted the Light Eyes. He didn't see Kaladin approaching from a third direction. The man dropped with a knife to the eye. He clattered to the ground still alive. Kaladin rammed his spear down into the fallen man's face, striking three times as the horse galloped off. The man's honor guard panicked and fled to rejoin their army. Kaladin signaled the two sub-squads by banging his spear against his shield, giving the hold position sign. They fanned out, and Short Turim, a man Kaladin had rescued from another squad, made as if to confirm the Light Eyes was dead. He was really covertly looking for spheres. Stealing from the dead was strictly prohibited.
If Amaram wants the spoils, he can storming well kill the enemy himself.
Kaladin respected Amaram more than most. Well, more than any Light Eyes. But bribes weren't cheap. Turim walked up to him.
Nothing, sir. Either he didn't bring any spheres into battle, or he has them hidden somewhere under that breastplate.
Kaladin nodded curtly, surveying the battlefield. Amaram's forces were recovering. They'd win the day before long. In fact, Amaram would probably be leading a direct surge against the enemy by now. He generally entered the battle at the end. Kaladin wiped his brow. He'd have to send for Norby, their captain lord, to prove their kill.
First, I need those healers.
Sir!
Kaladin glanced back at the enemy lines.
Stormfather, sir!
Turim wasn't looking at the enemy lines. Kaladin spun, looking back at friendly ranks. There, bearing down through the soldiers on a horse the color of death itself, was an impossibility. The man wore shining golden armor, perfect golden armor, as if this were what every other suit of armor had been designed to imitate. Each piece fit perfectly. There were no holes showing straps or leather. It made the rider look enormous, powerful, like a god carrying a majestic blade that should have been too big to use. It was engraved and stylized and shaped like flames in motion.
Stormfather.
The Shardbearer broke out of Amaram's lines. He'd been riding through them, cutting down men as he passed. For a brief moment, Kaladin's mind refused to acknowledge that this creature, this beautiful divinity, could be an enemy. The fact that the Shardbearer had come through their side reinforced that illusion. Kaladin's confusion lasted right up until the moment the Shardbearer trampled Sen. His shard blade dropped and cut through Dalit's head in a single easy stroke.
No!
Dalit's body fell back to the ground, eyes seeming to catch a light, smoke rising from them. The Shardbearer cut down Sin and trampled Lindel before moving on. It was all done with nonchalance, like a woman pausing to wipe a spot on a counter. Kaladin charged toward the fallen men of his squad. He hadn't lost anyone this battle. He was going to protect them all. He fell to his knees beside Dalit, dropping his spear. But there was no heartbeat, and those burned-out eyes.
He's dead.
Grief threatened to overwhelm Kaladin.
No. Save the ones you can.
He turned to Sen. The boy had taken a hoof to the chest, cracking his sternum and shattering ribs. Kaladin pulled out a bandage. Then he paused, looking at it.
A bandage? To mend a smashed chest?
He watches! The Black Viper in the night! He holds us in his palm, playing a tune that no man can hear!
Sen's eyes glazed over. He stopped breathing. Lindel's face had been smashed in. Sin's eyes smoldered, and he wasn't breathing either. Kaladin knelt in Sen's blood, horrified, as Turim and the two sub-squads formed around him, looking as stunned as Kaladin felt.
This isn't possible.
Kaladin looked up. Amaram's banner of green and burgundy flew just to the south. The Shardbearer had cut through Kaladin's squad, heading straight for that banner. Spearmen fled in disarray, scattering before the Shardbearer. Anger boiled inside of Kaladin.
Sir?
Kaladin picked up his spear and stood. His knees were covered with Sen's blood. His men regarded him, confused, worried. They stood firm in the midst of the chaos. As far as Kaladin could tell, they were the only men who weren't fleeing. The Shardbearer had turned the ranks to mush. Kaladin thrust his spear into the air, then began to run. His men fell into formation behind him, charging across the flat rocky ground. Spearmen in uniforms of both colors scrambled out of the way, dropping spears and shields. Kaladin picked up speed, legs pumping, his squad barely keeping pace just ahead. Right before the Shardbearer, a pocket of green broke and ran. Amaram's honor guard. Faced by a Shardbearer, they abandoned their charge. Amaram himself was a solitary man on a rearing horse. He wore silvery plate armor that looked so commonplace when compared with the shard plate. The Shardbearer rode past Amaram. With a sweep of the blade, the Shardbearer slashed through the neck of Amaram's mount. Its eyes burned into two great pits, and it toppled, jerking fitfully, Amaram still in its saddle. The Shardbearer wheeled his destrier in a tight circle, then threw himself from horseback at full speed. Kaladin redoubled his speed. Was he running to get vengeance, or was he trying to protect his High Marshal? The only Light Eyes who had ever shown a modicum of humanity.
Does it matter?
Amaram struggled in his bulky plate, the carcass of a horse on his leg. The Shardbearer raised his blade in two hands to finish him off. Coming at the Shardbearer from behind, Kaladin swung low with the butt of his spear, putting momentum and muscle behind the blow. The spear haft shattered against the Shardbearer's back leg in a spray of wooden slivers. The Shardbearer stumbled, lowering his blade. He turned the helmed face toward Kaladin, posture indicating utter surprise. The 20 remaining men of Kaladin's squad arrived a heartbeat later, attacking vigorously. Kaladin ran for the spear from a fallen soldier, then turned back to see his men attacking as he had fought. They came at the foe from three directions, ramming spears between joints in the plate. The Shardbearer glanced around as a bemused man might regard a pack of puppies yapping around him. Not a single one of the spear thrusts appeared to pierce his armor. He shook a helmed head, then he struck. The Shardblade swept out in a broad, sweeping series of deadly strokes, cutting through 10 of the spearmen. Kaladin was paralyzed in horror as Turim, Asis, Hamel, and 7 others fell to the ground, eyes burning, their armor and weapons sheared completely through. The remaining spearmen stumbled back, aghast. The Shardbearer attacked again, killing 6 others. Kaladin gaped. His men, his friends, dead, just like that. The last 4 scrambled away. The Shardbearer ignored them, stepping up to the pinned Amaram again.
No, no, no!
Something drove him forward, against all logic, against all sense. Sickened, agonized, enraged. The hollow where they fought was empty, save for them. Sensible spearmen had fled. His 4 remaining men achieved the ridge a short distance away, but didn't run.
Kaladin! Kaladin, no!
The Shardbearer saw him and spun, impossibly quick, swinging. Kaladin ducked under the blow and rammed the butt of his spear against the Shardbearer's knee. It bounced off. Kaladin threw himself backward just as the blade sliced the air in front of him. Amaram finally pulled himself free, and he crawled away, one leg dragging behind him, multiple fractures from the twist of it. Kaladin regarded the Shardbearer. This creature wasn't a god. It was everything the most petty of Light Eyes represented, the ability to kill people like Kaladin with impunity.
Every suit of armor has a chink. Every man has a flaw.
Kaladin thought he saw the man's eyes through the helm slit. That slit was just big enough for a dagger, but the throw would have to be perfect.
I have to be close.
Deadly close. Kaladin charged forward again. The Shardbearer swung his blade out in the same wide sweep he'd used to kill so many of Kaladin's men. Kaladin threw himself downward, skidding on his knees and bending backward. The Shardblade flashed above him, shearing the top of his spear free. The tip flipped up into the air, tumbling end over end. Kaladin strained, hurling himself back onto his feet. He whipped his hand up, flinging his knife at the eyes, watching from behind impervious armor. The dagger hit the faceplate just slightly off from the right angle, bouncing against the sides of the slit and ricocheting out. Kaladin landed on his feet, momentum still propelling him forward. Something flashed in the air beside him, falling toward the ground.
The spearhead.
Kaladin spun, snatching the spearhead from the air. It had been falling tipped down, and he caught it by the 4 inches of haft that remained, gripping it with his thumb on the stump, the sharp point extending down beneath his hand. The Shardbearer brought his weapon around as Kaladin skidded to a stop and flung his arm to the side, slamming the spearhead right in the Shardbearer's visor slit. Kaladin stood with his arm extended, the Shardbearer standing just to his right. Amaram had pulled himself halfway up the side of the shallow hollow. Kaladin's spearmate stood on the edge of the scene, gawking. Kaladin stood there, still gripping the haft of the spear, hand before the Shardbearer's face. The Shardbearer's blade dropped from his fingers, hitting the ground at an angle and digging into the stone. Kaladin stumbled away, feeling drained, stunned, numbed. His men rushed up, halting in a group, staring at the fallen man. They were amazed, even a little reverent.
Is he dead?
He is.
Kaladin turned. Amaram still lay on the ground, but he had pulled off his helm, dark hair and beard slicked with sweat.
If he was still alive, his blade would have vanished. His armor is falling off of him. He is dead. Blood of my ancestors! You killed a Shardbearer!
Kaladin wasn't surprised, just exhausted. He looked around at the bodies of men who had been his dearest friends.
Take it, Kaladin.
Kaladin turned, looking at the shard blade, which sprouted at an angle into the stone, hilt toward the sky.
Take it! It's yours! Stormfather, Kaladin! You're a Shardbearer!
Kaladin stepped forward, dazed, raising his hand toward the hilt of the blade. He hesitated just an inch away from it. Everything felt wrong.
If I take that blade, I'll become one of them.
His eyes would even change if the stories were right. Though the blade glistened in the light, clean of the murders it had performed, for a moment it seemed red to him, stained with blood.
Dalit's blood, Turim's blood, the blood of men who were alive just moments before.
It was a treasure. Men traded kingdoms for shard blades. The handful of dark-eyed men who had won them lived forever in song and story. But the thought of touching that blade sickened him. It represented everything he'd come to hate about the Light Eyes, and it had just slaughtered men he loved dearly. He could not become a legend because of something like that. He looked at his reflection in the blade's pitiless metal, then lowered his hand and turned away.
It's yours, Korib. I give it to you.
What?
Ahead, Amaram's honor guard had finally returned, apprehensively appearing at the top of the small hollow, looking ashamed.
What are you doing? What? Aren't you going to take the blade?
I don't want it. I'm giving it to my men.
Kaladin walked away, emotionally exhausted, tears on his cheeks as he climbed out of the hollow and shoved his way through the honor guard. He walked back to the war camp, alone.